everyone. This is Terry Lynn Coop, guest hosting tonight for Pam Stack on Authors in the Air. Tonight we have with us Simone Kelly. Born and raised in the Bronx, Simone is an author, internet radio host and producer, life coach, and promotional entrepreneur. She successfully climbed the ladder in corporate America by holding various positions in the marketing divisions of companies such as RCA Records and BMG Entertainment. This career led her to become the director at HBO's Volume.com, where she managed their lifestyle and community programs. But she was eager to be a full-time entrepreneur, so she decided to branch out of her comfort zone of corporate America and onto the journey of coaching others. She's now CEO of Own Your Power, a company that coaches small business owners, entrepreneurs, executives looking to boost their networks and skill sets. She lives and works in the Miami area with frequent trips to visit her clients in New York. And tonight we're going to be talking about her first novel, which is Fly, Like a Fly on the Wall. How are you tonight, Ms. Kelly?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. See, we started out with
a little
technical difficulty right there. How are you doing tonight, Ms. Kelly?
I'm doing fabulous.
Things okay down in Miami way?
Oh, yeah. Now that the power's on and some people still have got their power on, but, you know, we're getting back together. I'm not in Miami right now, but, yeah, it's been a little rocky, a week and a half of drama.
Most definitely.
Because of Irma, for those who don't know what we're talking about.
Or as they say, the Irmageddon, definitely. Well, your book, Like a Fly on the Wall, is absolutely delightful. Let me tell you, the prologue, without giving away any spoilers, caught me completely off guard. I'm like, what is this all about? And then I love the way it ended. Why don't you tell us a little bit just about your book in general?
Sure. Well, Like a Fly on the Wall is actually not my first novel. It's my second novel, but my first major publisher. I self-published before another novel. But basically, it is a suspense thriller with a supernatural twist, and it's based around the main character. His name is Jacques Baradi, and he is a sexy, intuitive counselor who is Moroccan-born and lives from New York and lives in Miami right now. And one of the main parts of the book is we're learning that because he's intuitive, he gets a lot of visions and messages, and his father died when he was a young boy. And now his father is coming back to him to try to help him uncover the mystery of how he actually died, because the story that was told to him isn't actually the truth. So we kind of follow him along the way in the story, but it's a lot of juicy things happen because, you know, he's very sensual and sexy, and there's, you know, there's actually nice erotic scenes happening in the book. So if you're not into that thing, you might not be able to handle the book. I have to warn some of my family members, like, all right, I don't know if you can handle it. But there's also another character named Kylie Collins, who is also one of his clients, who becomes his friend. And together they start working on solving each other's mysteries, in a sense. They start to help each other. She works at a detective agency called Like a Fly on the Wall, and we follow her on her journey as well. So, it's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed writing it, and I'm so happy of all the great reviews that I've been getting. So,
it's just the beginning.
Now, what is an intuitive counselor?
An intuitive counselor is someone who is psychic. So a lot of people don't know. I'm surprised. I was actually surprised as I'm talking to people. A lot of people don't know what that means, but this is a different way of saying psychic. And he's a counselor. He helps people with whatever issues they have going on. They might come to him, and he has insight to see what's happening in the future. He might be able to give them really good advice. And he just has a talent that most people have it, but most of us don't know how to tap into it. So.
And how much does the supernatural aspect play in the book?
It's definitely a big part of it, I would say. I wouldn't call it like a sci-fi book or paranormal, but I think it's definitely weaved into the book in many ways. And one of the things I do like is that people, once they read it, they're like, wow, okay, I have dreams, I have visions. Oh, I'm like Jacques, I'm psychic, you know, because I really wanted to help demystify the whole idea of being intuitive, because in my day job as a coach, I do teach people how to develop their intuition. So I'm actually, that's one of the things I love to do, because once people read the book, they start to identify with Jacques and they start to see, okay, well, there's some things that aren't that out there. And there's things that I can actually, you know, relate to, whether it's dreams or visions or whatever. So, yeah, that's one of the things that was one of my missions, honestly, a part of making it entertaining. But I wanted to also let people know this is something that we all need to develop more.
That's very interesting. And then tell us a little bit more about Kylie, because she is quite the character.
Well, Kylie is a fun, quirky 27-year-old who's trying to, like, gain her footing in the world, because she just lost her job. She just got laid off, and now she has to move back with her mom, which is her mother is actually pretty interesting herself. She's a character. And she's actually based on like three people actually know. I know, right? Those are just crazy. So, Kylie actually, she meets Jacques because of a mishap that happens. I don't want to spoil the whole book, but they just meet. They meet because of something that happens where they come together and they end up becoming friends. And she's just fascinated with Jacques and his abilities. And she has a lot of family secrets and things going on where she doesn't really know a lot about her family. So she's trying to uncover some mysteries. And that's why her and Jacques become friends, because she tries to, ask him for his psychic abilities to help her. So, yeah, that's pretty much Kylie in a nutshell.
That's great. Yeah. And I want to tell anyone who's watching, if you would like to call in and speak to Simone and ask her questions about her book, please. The number is area code 347-633-9609. And now, you said you've had quite an adventure getting to publication. I did call this your first novel, and I did mean your first major published novel. But tell us a little bit of the story about how Like a Fly on the Wall came to be.
Yeah, it was definitely an adventure. I wrote the book, or completed the book, I should say, because I actually took a long time to write it, because I stopped and started, and I'll do it later, I'll get back to it, kind of, it was more like a hobby, and I didn't really take it seriously. And then the last 2 years, because it was an idea for years, I always thought about the idea, but then the 2015 is when I completed it, and I had a writing coach, shout out to Claudette, who helped me a lot, I had a couple of writing coaches that helped me over the years, but they just helped me stay focused and finish it. Once I finished it, I was trying to find an agent. I couldn't find one. So I said, let me just self-publish, because I'm in marketing. My background is business. I've been doing, I have my own following from doing events and conferences over the years. So I said, let me just ask my friends and family and, people that are on my mailing list to help support the book. And I just went crazy with the marketing and did a lot of campaigns and contests and fun social media things. And I created a buzz about the book. And then I finally reached out to one of my author friends. And I was like, whatever happened to Rachel? Rachel was one of my old mentors back in from 2002, who used to give me advice and, go to lunch with me and just give me a lot of great tips. And we lost contact when I moved to Florida, and I didn't know what job she was at. I had no idea where she was. And she was like, Rachel's on LinkedIn, just find her. And she's a senior editor at HarperCollins. And I was like, get out of here. Yeah, I was like, get out of here. So when she told me that, I reached out to Rachel, and Rachel, it was like no time had passed. Like, even though it might have been 5 years since we spoke, she was totally welcoming with open arms. And then she was like, when you come to New York, come by. Went by at HarperCollins, and open arms, hugged me, and we just started connecting and talking. I gave her a copy of the book, and then 2 months later, she offered me a book deal. So
sweet.
It was a dream come true, girl.
Most definitely. Well, congratulations.
Yes.
You've when
Thank
did the book
you.
Come out?
It came out July 11th, 7/11/2017. So it's been out a couple
and
of months.
And you're already getting great reviews on it.
Yes, I'm so happy about that. It went Amazon bestseller the first day it came out in mystery and suspense category. So my next goal is I would love to be a New York Times bestseller. I know people say, oh, it's hard to do that, but, hey, anything could happen, so I'm putting it out there.
Oh, most definitely, most definitely. And one thing I've noticed here, I'm looking at some of your reviews right now, is mm-hmm. I see over and over again is can't wait for book two. Is there going to be a book two?
Well, that, you know, originally the goal was to write a sequel. And when I got the book deal, HarperCollins was William Morrow is my actual publisher under HarperCollins. Let me be clear.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, we don't want a sequel. We just want one big book to make it like a, you know, a juicy summer reading. That's how we pretty much marketed it. So mm-hmm. I'm writing the next book. I'm not going to call it book two, but, you know, it's not going to be necessarily – it's a standalone book. So you can still read it if you haven't read part one, the first book. You want to call it that, part one. So pretty much that's – you know, I want to carry on the characters. I want Kylie and Jacques to continue, but I do have another character I'm introducing, and there'll be other storylines. But because it's a detective agency, that, and he's a psychic, and he has a gazillion clients, there's so many different ways I can go, and there's so much content. There's so many things I could do. I totally have, like, I already have five stories in my head already. So I don't think I'll ever run out of stuff to talk about.
And that's the way to do. I was fascinated by this detective agency that they ended up in. Tell us a little bit about mm-hmm. like a fly on the wall. What are they about?
Well, without spoiling too much, I'm kind of like, I don't know. Oh. How can we tell it without spoiling it? Well, the detective agency, I mean, I guess we could talk about the characters that are there that work there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So Vince is actually the founder. He's an Italian guy from Brooklyn. Very funny, very direct. He actually starts to take Kylie under his wing and kind of shows her the ropes, and he's going to be influential in the next book as well. He's actually pretty funny. And Antonio is one of his people that works for him. He's a detective as well, and he does a lot of surveillance. He does a lot of things outside, you know, research and what have you. So the two of them are pretty much like, it's like a brotherly kind of relationship, even though they're like total opposites. But yeah, they're a fun bunch. And Antonio is from Miami, so it's funny. Like when I look at all of my characters, I do have a lot of characters from New York. I was like, wow, everybody's from New York.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. I really like the character of Vince, and glad he's gonna be back. He just seems like such a New Yorker guy.
Yeah,
and
I actually met the real Vince. In real life, like,
ooh.
When I tell you how coincidences kept happening to me as I wrote the book, I would literally, like, when I said, oh, I want to have a French, you know, character, I kept meeting everybody from that was French or Moroccan. And then when I, one of my mentors was telling me about her new boyfriend she met, and she described Vince to the T, and I was like, are you kidding me? Minus him being 5'3". she
cool.
said he's Italian, he's a homicide detective, a retired homicide detective, and he's from Brooklyn. I said, are you kidding me? I have to speak to this guy. And he actually helped
Absolutely.
Me develop I actually interviewed him, and he helped me develop the character, because I asked him a lot about his career and things he did, and how did he do, you know, surveillance and, you know, research and what have you. And he gave me such great stories to help me build the character. So, you know,
so
I love how I manifest people.
And that was, I was going to ask, because your characters, they're so... I don't know. I'm trying to come up with the right word.
Quirky?
They're deep. Yeah, they're deep.
Oh, okay.
And they're varied and they're quirky, and you've got this kaleidoscope of character types. And are these people you know or people you've dealt with, or where do some of these unique characters come from?
One of the things I do, I'm an avid people watcher, so people don't know I'm always, like, taking notes as I look at them or watch them, their interactions, how they talk, how they move. And I will – and some most people know I'll tell them. I'll say, oh, that line is so funny. Can I use that? I need to put that in my next book. And
mm-hmm.
I have clients – as a coach, I'm talking to people every day. That's all I do, is I'm on the phone every day. And I have clients from Dallas, from England, from wherever, you know, from all over. So I hear accents and different dialects. So it's intriguing to me. And so I really love to mix people together. There's no one character that's just, oh, that's based on Susie. You know, they're always
mm-hmm.
characters that are a mixture of different people. Jacques, actually, I think I actually have this in the back of the book. Jacques was inspired originally from a movie I saw, Unfaithful, when I saw the main character. I don't know if you ever saw that movie. Oliver, what is his last name? Martinez. when I saw him, I was like, ooh, I like this character. I want somebody that has, like, a French accent. So then I just I started doing research, and then, you know, I figured, let me come up with a character that's interesting, sexy, you know, spiritual. And it seemed to work because almost everybody likes him. Like all women, all races, ages, they don't care. Like, they're like, oh, I want Jacques. Where is he at?
So he's definitely sexy. I can tell you that for sure. You were successful. You were successful there.
Oh, thank you.
It's enjoyable. Well, it's enjoyable too to read a book that has such a I hate to use the cliche word, but diverse group of voices in it and characters and how well everybody meshes together. It really makes for an enjoyable read.
Thank you. Well, that was the other thing I wanted to give myself a challenge, because my first book I wrote was many years before. It was called At Second Glance, and it was all women, all black women. So I said, you know, let me give myself a challenge and have a little mix of diversity, but also I want to write from a man's perspective. So that was fun.
Definitely.
I got to interview a lot of guys. Well, how would you do this? And how would you say that? Or, and I, you know, of course, again, I have people watching. I work with a lot of guys when I do my radio show. I work with nothing but men. So they tell me their stories. They don't hold back.
No,
so I was able
they
to,
don't.
And Hisham was actually, a lot of people love to hate Hisham, but he was one of my favorite characters to write for. I don't know if you remember him. That's the brother of Jacques.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Who could forget Hisham?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, your characters are wonderful. I saw something on your Facebook page that kind of intrigued me. There's some sort of a contest going on having to do with Barbados.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
I have a contest that just started, and basically it's more for people that do public transportation, so sorry for those who drive. But one of my dreams has been to see people, you know, reading my book on the train or the bus or the subway. You know, I'm from New York. I'm a city girl. So, and two of my dreams have come true already. My book has been in supermarkets, in many supermarkets called the Stop and Shop up north, and in airports. So that was one of my first dreams, to see my book in airports. So that came true. So now I'm like, okay, I want to see my book on the subway or the bus. So now all you have to do is take a selfie of yourself or have a friend take a picture of you on the bus or the train or at the bus stop, even if it's like Amtrak or something. It doesn't have to be like, you know, actually in the city. And then you put the picture up and you hashtag like a fly on the wall and island getaway hashtag. And we will be doing, you know, voting. Me and my team will look at the pictures and pick a winner. And then you win a 4-day, 3 nights, to Barbados. We don't pay for airfare, unfortunately, but you get to stay at Becky's by the Sea, which is one of my members. She owns this really beautiful place. A lot of people I know have gone. So yeah, that's my little giveaway.
No, that's excellent. And I can tell you, back in my corporate days, I was assigned to a project in Barbados for 14 weeks.
What? That's a nice job.
Yes, I know. I spent 14 weeks in Barbados working at the mobile oil refinery there, a little teeny tiny, you know, chemistry set of a refinery that's out by Needham's Point. And yes, I know. I had to live on the beach in Barbados for 14 weeks. So,
oh, that sucks. Poor thing.
Oh, it was
you
terrible.
You had to use so much sunscreen.
Hell.
Poor baby.
It was hell. It was hell. Absolutely. We were at the Hilton, because it's right next door to the you drive right by the refinery
wow.
to get to the Hilton. And so I can tell people, enter this contest. Not that Barbados is the world's easiest place to get to, but once you're there, it's absolutely fabulous. So I'm trying to think of where I could take a picture with your book here in town. I live in a town of, like, you know, 4,000 in Kansas.
Go by a bus stop or something, or by a Greyhound bus.
What are these things called bus stops?
The contest is on my website. If you go to ownyourpower.biz and go on the blog and just type in Island Getaway, you'll find it. But it's Island Getaway contest.
I might find it.
And it ends,
I might be able to find an Amish buggy at the Walmart.
That might work.
Yeah.
we'll see. But the contest is over October 10th. So I'll send you the link and you can post it if you want.
This is how small a town I live in. When I was out going to garage sales last weekend, there was an Amish buggy parked at one of the garage sales.
I believe you. That's
this
great.
Is how small.
I didn't know. You're in Florida, right? You said you're in Florida?
No, I'm in Kansas. I'm in Kansas.
Oh, you're in Kansas. Oh, I'm mixing up people. Okay. Oh,
trust me,
wow.
Nobody is more surprised than I am most days. Trust me. So, no, the executive
not in
producer.
Kansas anymore. I can't use that line with you.
definitely, I am in Kansas. Our executive producer, who was going to be doing the hosting, it is in Florida, and she was displaced by the storm. So I stepped in gladly because this is an absolute delight to talk to you about your book. And tell me a little bit about this Own Your Power. Tell me about your company.
Sure. Well, my company is called Own Your Power Communications, and we focus on personal and business development, mainly coaching entrepreneurs who are trying to make the transition to leave their 9-to-5. That is one of my passions. I love it. And, you know, since I become, a published author, more so in, more in the spotlight with being an author, I've been attracting a lot of author clients. So I've been helping people, get their books to become bestseller on Amazon. I'm helping them with their strategies on how to market their books. I'm taking people that just want regular coaching for business or life coaching, but most of my clients now honestly have become authors because that's kind of the direction I'm going in. So it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. And you have do you do podcasts like this? Is your radio network?
Yes, I have Own Your Power radio network. I haven't been doing I used to have my own show on it, but I haven't done it in a few months because of, focusing on the book. But I do have other shows in my network that they record their shows. I record their shows for them. And we post it, but most of the shows are lifestyle related. So they're about health and wellness, about personal development. If you just go to ownyourpower.biz or ownyourpowerlifestyle.com, either one, you'll be able to listen to the shows. We've actually been on the air since 2013, and we have over 350 podcasts you can listen to right now that are up right now.
Oh, that's fantastic. And if anyone was interested in talking to you about your publicist type role for books and writing and coaching and that type of thing, how should they get in touch with you?
They can definitely just go to my website, onyourpower.biz, and just reach out to me through there. I wouldn't call it a publicist because people will mix that up.
That's true.
Publicist would be more me. What are you going to say?
No, sorry, for lack of a better word, your
it's
coaching.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't want people to think I'm a publicist. They're going to think I'm going to get them on the New York Times or something.
You're going to figure that one out for yourself.
Yeah, exactly, right? Thank you. No, but one of the things I'm very good at, that's one of my favorite things to do, is more of marketing, social media strategies. Because that is, at the end of the day, the relationship help get me the book deal, but also – many authors don't do it enough. They don't.
You're breaking up just a little bit.
Oh, sorry. I'm not even moving. What about now?
You're fine now.
Still bad? Okay. Now, I was saying that's one of the things that I try to drive home to upcoming authors, is that they shouldn't be afraid to market themselves or toot their own horn or have people promote them. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people write a book and then nobody knows about it.
So if you had to identify a mistake that writers make on social media, or that you've seen writers make on social media, what would you say it is?
They don't do anything on social media. Or they might never send out an email blast, or they'll send out once every 3 months they'll send out something. They don't let people know when they're doing book signings. They don't collect emails at events. I could go on. There's loads of stuff you can do. That's one of the biggest things that you have to do, is whenever you do an event, collect emails. Whenever you meet people, you promote yourself. I'm at almost every Starbucks I go to knows I have a book. They're like, what are you working on? And I'm like, oh, I'm writing a book. And I'll give them my business card, or I'll give them a bookmark or a flyer. So everybody knows about my book. You know what I mean? So I don't have no shame in my game.
None whatsoever.
And people will support you. People will support you. People, I guess, you know, I want to be humble and I don't want people to know. You don't have to be braggadocious about it, but you should definitely ask for support, you know, especially when people tell me, oh, I love your book. Thank you so much. Can you write a review for me on Amazon? I'm trying to get to 100 reviews. I tell people that. Like, I don't just say thank you. I say, hey, can you help me out? I need your help. So that's the thing that I think a lot of people need to do more of, you know. Yeah, because that helps. Because even if you get a major book deal, it doesn't matter. You still have to work. You have to work. It's not going to just be magically a superstar. You have to get out there and hustle and you know, work, make your own connections.
Well, definitely. Getting the encouraging people to write the reviews and that type of thing, that's a tough one. But it's but it pays off because it gets you into that Amazon stew.
Mm-hmm.
whatever the hocus pocus is behind the Amazon algorithms, a lot of it is review driven.
Yeah.
So I know the new book just came out last month, but are you working? I mean, you said you're working on book two. Does it have any sort of a scheduled date yet?
No scheduled date yet, but the goal is my rough date.
You're breaking up a little bit.
Hello.
You're there. Are you there
me?
Now? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, I don't have a scheduled date as yet, but I have a deadline with my agent, you know, behind the scenes. So I'm diligently working on the next book. It definitely is going to have Jacques and Kylie will be back. there's a supernatural twist to it again. Lots of fun, lots of juicy stuff happening. I'm very excited about it. And I actually have a private group on Facebook. If anybody is interested, just hit me up on Facebook on my fan page. And if you've read the book and you want to be a part of it, you can get a sneak preview of upcoming scenes. That way I get feedback, and it's really cool because I'm getting great feedback and it keeps me motivated as well. so yeah, that's I'm working on that hard so that hopefully by next year we can have another book.
Now, Like a Fly on the Wall definitely has its racy parts. Oh my. On using kind of the romance scale of one being sweet, meaning, you know, it's got like a little bit of kissing in it, up to five, which is very, very explicit, where would you say Like a Fly on the Wall hits?
Probably a four, I would say. I don't think it's like raunchy, raunchy, you know, grimy, grimy, but it definitely has its moments. What would you say, Terry?
So,
you tell me.
Yeah, it's pretty darn. I mean, it's not erotica, but it is pretty darn racy. So
yeah.
Anybody out there who has a little bit, you know, you just might want to get yourself a little cool drink or something like that while you're reading this, because it's definitely got some heat to
it. You're making me laugh because one of my friends called me cursing me out. She's like, "Girl, you know I ain't got no man. I can't read this right now." I was like, that's the whole point. It gives you something to visualize.
Well, especially with Jocks being so darn sexy. I mean, goodness gracious.
Yeah. Well, that is one of my next things that I do want to do before the next book comes out is another, I don't know if I should call it a trailer since the trailer already came out. We did produce a trailer, but I want to do like a mini YouTube video because I found somebody that looks kind of like Jocks. It's pretty sexy.
Oh.
So
yes, you need a trailer. And I found in my book that I didn't intend to do it, but it's got two male mm-hmm. characters in it, and I ended up with people mm-hmm. being on either Team Ethan or Team Joaquin.
Ooh, I love
who
it.
As who they think the sexier guy is that she should end up with. And
I love it.
Joaquin? I had known that was
where's he from?
Joaquin. He is he's part Mexican, part Native American, who belongs to a motorcycle gang.
Uh-oh.
And Ethan is Ethan is a nice boy from Texas who's an ultra sexy FBI agent who, when I describe him, I said, I opened my door and there was Springsteen circa 1992 standing on my porch.
What's the name of your book?
It's called Devil's Deal. It's a legal thriller, and basically, kind of in a 1970s, 80s car chase mode. I mean, there's big cars, big guns, you know, stuff goes fast, hearts get broken, stuff explodes. And that type of thing. My main character, Juliana, she starts out as a lawyer and she ends up, you know, just disgraced. There's this big conspiracy, and it's fun, a lot of action to it.
Sounds like a movie. I like it.
And the point where Devil's Deal comes from is the government offers her a devil's deal. She either has a choice. She can save her father or she can prey a client. And that's the choice that she has. That's the choice that she has to make. And mayhem ensues from that point. So it's fun. Isn't the writing gig fun?
I love writing. I love it. So I don't want to ever stop. This is like my dream job. And the thing is, I still love coaching. So if I could do the two of these till the day I die, I'll be a happy camper.
Hey, I'm a corporate refugee. I was an engineer with Big Oil, and then I went to law school and I became a public defender.
Makes sense. I was going to ask you about how did you get into the legal part for the book. Oh, I love it. Little John Gresham going on.
Oh yeah, I was a public defender for 10 years.
Wow.
And then I took over when my husband passed away, I took over the family antique business. So I call myself a recovering lawyer.
Oh, wow.
And I write and I hustle antiques and I do the radio show. So I fully get where you're coming from, and it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
So do you promise you'll come back when the second book comes out?
I promise.
Because
I'm
going to want to hear more about it, because this is you've got a lot, like you said, with both you have Jock's counseling service that has that little
mm-hmm.
touch of that hoodoo paranormal to it. And
mm-hmm.
then you've got the like a fly on the wall detective agency with Vince.
Mm-hmm.
Which has
and they're
going
to be using Jacques more too in the future. They'll
yeah.
be asking Jacques for more, you know.
So you've got those two wells of stories, and then you've got the place where they connect.
Yep.
And overlap. So I foresee much mayhem in your future. So, no, I want to thank you very much for coming on tonight and tell people it's Like a Fly on the Wall. It came out on July 11th, correct? And
correct.
it can be found at all the places where you find books, both physical and ebook, correct?
Correct. Barnes and Noble, it's even on Target and Walmart.com. You go to likeaflyonthewall.com for links to all the different stores. Books a Million. It's in airports. It's in Stop and Shop. It's in a lot of places. So if your bookstore doesn't have it, ask them to order it.
So it's www.likeaflyonthewall.com, and that's also where people can get information about your Barbados contest.
Yes, and they can also see the trailer to the book. They can see other reviews, and that's where they can get everything.
And then they can find you on Facebook on your fan page, which is Own Your Power, correct?
No, that's my personal page. They can add me as a friend, but my fan page for the book is Like a Fly on the Wall book.
Okay.
Like a Fly on the Wall
so
book.
So check Simone out on Facebook and on her website to keep up with what's going on. You can join the group for the sequel to get a sneak peek at some of the upcoming scenes. And I bet if you ask twice, she'll even give you some of the naughty ones. And it sounds like, too, you can even get a chance to be part of some of the early feedback on some of the scenes. Am I right?
Yes, yes. You have to definitely email me, still on my website, and let me know, and I'll definitely add you. But you don't want to join it until you finish reading the book because there's spoilers.
And that's important because there's so many twists and turns in this. You don't want any spoilers ahead of time.
Mm-mm,
with that,
I'd be mad.
With that, I will say goodnight to you and thank you again for coming on, and I look forward to book two.
Thank you so much for having me, Tevi. All right, take care, and I look forward to reading your book.
All righty, and it was a lot of fun. Good night.
Okay, bye.